The Utah Open Source Foundation brings the Utah Logs home. Feel free to listen live at stream.utos.org or catch the audio afterward at podcast.utos.org. The bandwidth is provided by Center 7. The following presentation, Git Version Control System, was given by Barry Roberts on February 11th, 2009 at the Provo Linux User Group. Visit their site at plug.org.
Okay, like I said, we're going to talk about Git tonight. Just to give you a little history of why I like this kind of thing and how I got into this. At Exactware, we've been using CVS for years and years, and I kept thinking, okay, when Subversion gets good enough, the features of Subversion will pay for the pain of switching and, you know, the learning curve, then we'll switch to Subversion. Well, that still hasn't happened, and all the new DSCMs came along, and we just skipped the whole Subversion step and went. Our CVS repository was a good 10 years old. We had history, going back to the dawn of time, and so we migrated straight from Subversion to Git. After I read my blurb on the website, I did want to clear up one thing. Not all the developers at Exactware migrated to Git, just in the division that I work for, which is Exact Value. There's just about 15 or so people, developers, managers, testers, documentation writers, who migrated from CVS to Git. And it's been pretty successful. It took a couple of years to do this. I actually chose Mercurial, and I used Mercurial for a while, just in testing, and I ran into some problems with it, but that was about a year ago. We switched over to Git. We migrated to Git about 10 months ago. So some of my information, I'll admit, is a little old, and you may be able to tell from the title that I'm a slightly opinionated person, prone to lapsing into hyperbole on occasion. After some conversations on Pound Utah today, I've decided that maybe this is really, although I think you're out of your mind for not using Git, this might be a who should use Git type presentation, even though, I might think it's everybody. Before I get started, who uses Git? I know we have some Git users here. Oh, quite a few. CVS. Even more CVS, your Subversion. And that's Subversion wins. Mercurial. Oh, got our lone two Mercurial users. BazaarNG. Any other DSCM, Monotone, Arch, Codeville. SourceSafe is not a DSCM. If you use SourceSafe, I can't help you. Okay. So we have a good mix of BitKeeper. There you go. Have you all seen Linus's talk at Google about Git, where he has the slide that says, if you disagree with me, you're stupid and butt ugly? I'm opinionated, but not quite that opinionated. So, if you disagree with me, you're just stupid. You may not be ugly. But even though I think Git is the greatest thing since sliced bread, before we get started, I did just want to, go ahead and admit that, Git might be situations where Git might not be the right tool for the job. A lot of the things we'll talk about will apply. Some things Mercurial will do, some things Bazaar will do, but I think Git really is the only one that does everything that I need in a software source code management system. So, Git, Mercurial, and Bazaar, they're all good tools. Bazaar kind of fell over trying to import my CVS repository, and just, so I don't know it very well, because it it got eliminated pretty quickly. But I did use Mercurial for a couple of months, so I know how to compare that. And there are, you know, situations where Git. But after having admitted that, we'll go right back into the hyperbole, and I'll tell you why you will be assimilated and resistance is futile, and you might as well just go ahead and use Git. There are several features that we've found in using Git for the past 10 months that, you know, several individual features where we said, oh, wow, that feature was worth switching to Git. And again, some of these are just distributed, you know, any distributed SCM that applies to them. Some of them are Git only. Start with merging. Most developers at Exactware still use Subversion, and even though Subversion 1.5 claims to support merging, it doesn't work for us, for the people at Exactware who still use it. So as far as I know, you know, you pretty much have to go to a distributed SCM to really be able to merge branches. That was the reason we switched. We do quarterly releases. You know, getting with Subversion and CVS, when you have to do a production patch, you fix a bug in the production branch, and then you just got to manually make sure all the files that got changed get into the development branch, or that fix gets lost in the production branch, and then the next time you release, your customers find that bug, or your testers find that same bug again. And stuff like that happens. They either don't get moved over, or you forget one file and it passes most of the tests, but, you know, it's just a manual process, and it's a pain, and it costs developer time, and it, you know, makes more defects get out to production. So unlike in Subversion and CVS, because if you can merge, branches are actually a good thing. They're not something that you avoid like the plague, because they're a horrendous pain in the rear end. And that's what, that was why we switched, and that was the first one we said, as soon as we started merging production branches back into the development branch, we said, oh yeah, this was a good thing to do. Which brings us to the next fairly general distributed SCM feature, and that's branching. And I'm kind of now the internal support person for Git at Exactware. And feel free, if you want to, you know, see how any of these work in Git, they're a little bit of a pain to show, but I've been working on it, and I think it's no fun to watch somebody making dummy changes and committing to get, you know, to make it look like a real branch. But I got, you know, some things set up, so I think I could probably demo some of these, and it would be fairly obvious what's going on without wasting a whole lot of time. But if you have questions or want to see how something works, just interrupt me. But one of the things we found with switching is that, you know, with Subversion, CVS, and those, branching is something you avoid it at all costs. If you don't really need a branch, if you can't convince yourself that you really need it bad enough to put up with the pain, you don't branch. But in Git, you just make branches all the time. Same with Bazaar and Mercurial. So you just kind of have to forget and, you know, unlearn your old revision control habits. And again, long-lived branches like, you know, a production branch or other branches, this is another way you reduce errors, because especially with Git, and I don't know Bazaar, but it's harder in Mercurial. You can let Git keep track of a lot of details, like which files you changed. If you're working on multiple things, you know, I know that never happens, where you have two or three different things you need to get done, or where you're working on one thing and somebody says, "Oh, emergency! Stop working on that. Work on this." In those types of cases, Subversion, CVS mostly just get in your way because you have to manually keep track of everything. Git fully supports that and will take care of all the details for you. So that's another one of those places where we've had errors before because somebody didn't, you know, somebody's brain wasn't quite detailed enough to keep track of everything, but Git is. And then a really controversial one. Has anybody read any of Ben Collins Sussman's blogs, postings on the risks of distributed version control and programmer insecurity and things like that. He's one of the Subversion developers, so I'm sure he's a really smart guy, but he disagrees with me, so he's stupid. And I don't think he quite gets it. If you've ever submitted a patch to an open source project, the Linux kernel being one of the good examples of this, you have to submit patches that are logical units of work. They're small. And, you know, if you're doing a bug fix and you got to fix a bug over here or add a, you know, make an infrastructure change, add a new method or add a change a method signature somewhere over here, and then do something, you know, to actually fix the bug, those are three separate patches, and the patches look like you knew from the beginning exactly what you needed to do. But nobody codes like that. You start fixing the bug, and then you find, oh, I need to do this, and I need to do that. Then when you're done, you clean that all up and submit nice, clean patches. Git supports all that without having to use something like a patch manager, like Qwilt or Mercurial Qs. And some people think that's bad because you can, in Git, if you choose to, only keep the perfect one that makes you look omniscient and, you know, right from the beginning. But it doesn't force you to get rid of your, you know, oh, I tried this, didn't work, back it out. You can keep all that history too. But there are people who believe that distributed version control in general encourages developers to go dark and, you know, patch bomb with huge finished features with no prior review and, you know, 10,000 lines of code that you've never seen before because you have your own repository. Again, I think that's mostly people who haven't really used distributed version control much. But, you know, if it's good for the Linux kernel, it's probably good for your commercial product too. It's really nice to have a clean history that doesn't have a bunch of, checked in here because I was going home for the day or checked in because I had to switch tasks, you know, things like that that don't really have any long-term meaning. And especially with a distributed version control, you'll find that you do commit early, commit often, because it's cheap, it's fast, and nobody else sees it until you're ready for them to. So you do a lot of work in progress commits, unlike a centralized version control. Any questions so far? Any we doing okay? Everybody awake? Okay. And the main reason I think that people like Ben Colin Sussman and his friends and all their blog posts about how, you know, if you're not Subversion, you're wrong. One of the really cool things, even in a centralized corporate environment, informal sharing with distributed version control is really, really cool. And it, in my opinion, unless you're, pathologically averse to other people seeing your code, and, you know, we've all known programmers like that. Nothing's going to change them, but it really encourages reviewing things early, because there's so many ways with Git to share your code before it's done, before you have to put it into, you know, somewhere that you can break the build. You can just start up a Git daemon from a command line and say, you know, can you pull this for me and see if it works with what you're doing, or test it in your situation or whatever. Git has easy tools for formatting and sending patches over email, or actually sending them for you, or letting you just attach them to an email. If you have SSH access to a machine that has a Git repository, you can fetch or pull from there. You can push temporary branches to a centralized repository. So it's in a separate branch, so it doesn't go into, you know, the master where your builds come from. And then anybody can access it, but they don't have to necessarily mess up. They don't even have to check it out. They can just look at the patches, the changes, just from the branch. And then the last one, and this is the one where Git really shines. There's some architectural differences between Git and centralized version control systems that make a huge differences in speed. The way they're architected, you never ever have to run through all the files on the server comparing, you know, date timestamp to see what's changed. Seeing, you know, what how you're different from the servers, you know, checking a few SHA-1 IDs and seeing, you know, where you are and where the server is and deciding what you have to push or pull. It's very fast, and in my opinion, I'm going to rip on Mercurial a few times tonight. So if you really like Mercurial, that's fine, but I don't. With Git, you end up keeping track of things. You end up with fewer work directories, depending on, you know, what you're doing. But if you're, you know, if you're hardcore coding, you end up with fewer work directories in Mercurial. Any questions at this point? Anybody want to disagree with me? I'll take you on. Got the Mercurial? Yes.
I'm just curious. You said fewer work directories. I don't understand what that means.
In Mercurial, the history is immutable. So if you want to do something that you might throw away, you have to do a local clone, because anything you commit is going to get pushed next time you push.
Yeah.
So.
In Mercurial, is it essentially a branch, or like anything you try to do something clone?
Well, and this is something that's new from when I used Mercurial. Supposedly now they have topic branches, and so I think you could do. If there are any Mercurial experts, you can correct me on this. I think you can do Mercurial. You can do check out different branches in the same work directory in Mercurial now, can't you?
Yeah. Not quite as nice as Git, but yeah. And they have some type of support.
Yeah, it's an extension. Forget what it's called, but bookmarks extension. It's very similar to topic branches, but pretty much anything you want to do in Git, you can just create a branch. Check it out in the same work directory, do some work, rearrange it, and either merge it or cherry pick it, squash it back into the master. Pretty much anything like that in Mercurial, you're going to have to create a new working directory, do a local clone. And that's not a big deal. Well, it's pretty fast. Doing a local clone with Mercurial is pretty fast, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, just to give you an idea, the repository I work in all day at Exactware is about 620 megabytes, about 9,000 files. It's not huge, and actually it wouldn't be that big if there weren't the web stuff. There's like flash files and tutorial PDFs and, you know, some big files, but most of it's source files. And a local clone, you know, by the time you're off the inner key, it's done on Linux. I have a lot of Windows users. We have a lot of our developers run Windows on their desktop, and those local clones are not as cheap on Windows. So for Linux users, having multiple working directories is not a big deal, but for Windows users it is, because they don't, can you do hard links? You can't do hard links on Windows, and I think Mercurial and Git use those. Plus, Windows users tend to be IDE users. And they don't like having multiple work directories, because then every time you have a new work directory, you have to set up a new project in your IDE. If you're an IDE user on Linux, that's also a concern, too. So,
my question is actually from the online. They wanted to know if this slides are
platform. Not yet, but I will do that, but I haven't
yet. Since you're bringing it up, though, another question is I know that some IDEs
I haven't seen one that supports that.
I'm thinking specifically with Eclipse, because I've seen people talk about that.
Oh, really?
Set it up, so I don't know.
We have a lot of Eclipse users, and it might do that, yeah. but they don't know how to do it. As far as they know, you know, if you have another work directory, that's another one of my biases. Even though Mercurial does run, you know, the difference between Mercurial on Windows and Mercurial on Linux is less than the difference between Git on Linux and Git on Windows. because when to Windows users, you know, if it's not in the Git, if it's not in the GUI, it doesn't exist. I've also done a lot of research on how the GUIs work and what cross-platform GUIs for Git as well. So yes.
I'm not sure if you're gonna go over this, but you know, does Git have a simple, especially if it's C++ API that you can use to, you know, build? Because like our tools, we, you know, force the artist to do checkout and check in and whatnot. Bring parents, is that it?
No, it doesn't. And that is, they're working on it now. LiteGit 2, the problem with that is, and this is one of the advantages that Bazaar and Mercurial tout that they have over Git. Git was written, you know, in 2 weeks, and the core of it is still around. It was written to be command line utilities. So there are a lot, all through the C code, you know, there's places where if it gets an error, it just exits the process. That doesn't work real well in a library because you don't want to, you know, your program exiting because the library couldn't find a file or something. I don't think it's reentrant. There's several other things where the libification, they call it, it's not going to happen with the existing code, but they're doing some refactoring, and LiteGit 2 is getting complete. But because of that, there are two things. The Git file format is very well documented and very, very simple. The Git wire protocol is well documented and very simple. So there are implementations of those. None of them are as complete as the C, you know, the canonical C implementation. But because there's no library, there's Ruby, Java, C Sharp, Python, and one or two others in the works. Implementations that actually just access the object database or, you know, talk the protocol on the wire to the server. It's a little bit of duplication of effort, but there will be a library. Right now, most tools just launch the utilities as, you know, as a sub-process. Most GUIs do. Any other questions at this point? Yeah, we're doing on time. All right. Sure.
So let's say you've got some test code and you're testing against your personal email account, so you've got, say, your email password in there. You check it in. Is there a way to wipe that out of your history?
Yes. Yeah, all you have to do, I should have put this in one of the myths, but Mercurial makes a big deal about their history being immutable, so that it's reliable. Their repository is append only. Git's repository is mostly append only. Usually when you're changing history, you're really just changing references and creating new objects and referring to them instead of the old objects. But that's why Git needs garbage collection. And we'll talk, that's on this slide. You end up with just dangling objects in the object database, but if you run the garbage collection, it's gone. And if you haven't pushed that, then nobody will ever see it. And even if it's still in your repository, you can still push, and it's not going to push it to the share, you know, the central repository or anywhere you push to, or so you're pretty safe there too. Yes.
I believe it's saying Git and Mercurial that once you push the change, though, in the distributed system, if you're not familiar with that, and it's kind of in the wild, and you have to track down everyone who's pulled from that to get them to raise that.
It can be. That's why there's a good article called I think it's something like Git means never having to say you should have. But once you pushed it and shared it, then you should have done it right by then, because once it's shared and other people have gotten that, then it's too late to rewrite it. It's not really, but it's a real pain to rewrite it at that point. And that's true of any of the distributed version control systems. While it's local, you can do whatever you want with it, you know, as far as the tool supports. But once it's been shared.
So, just a curious question. I've only used it a little bit, because I'm still feeling it out, trying to get my head around it. Do you typically tend to feed yourself a personal, like, Christine branch that you push from, and then do all your stuff in a second local copy just because of that, to keep things straight in your head?
No. There is the pristine branch, which is usually, actually there are several of those. For example, we have the development branch and production branch, and then we actually have an old product that has diverged so much we're never going to merge it, but it is still a branch in the same repository. And those are the pristine branches. And then I do my own work in multiple local branches. So if I've got two or three features that I'm working on and a couple of defect fixes, each one of those is in its own branch. And then I don't have to worry about which files I changed for this and which files I changed for that. If I'm in that branch, those changes are for that, that work item. So yes and no, it's multiple local or topic branches, as Git calls them, is how most of the developers in Exact Value now work. We started off, you don't have to do that. You can just work on the master and work. And that was one of the things I did want to stress. A lot of the questions to Linus from the Google employees were, but we're a company, they didn't come right out and say this, but there were several of them that were basically, we're a company. We have to have one spot where we know this is, the state of the code is determined by this repository. And he never really answered this, although he has answered in emails before. That's fine. You can do a centralized, version control with Git. It's a great plug-in replacement for CVS, and you can, you don't have to change the way you work very much. The biggest change is you have to commit and push, because you have a local repository and you commit to that, and when you push, it goes to the central repository. But everything, you don't have to use topic branches. You can just, take baby steps and move that direction.
One of the things that we used at Guru Labs for was to get the spoken wheel type functionality, where mm-hmm. we had a bare repository in the middle, mm-hmm. and everybody would check out from that and then do their own work and then commit back to that central repository. So you can still do centralized version control with it just in one central repository, or several central repositories. Everybody has their own custom branches, and then they commit back to it when they're done.
That's what we do.
Yeah, and I kind of figured that would be, it's a pretty common mentality with you with the distributed version control, just something to say that.
It is. And as Linus says, centralized is basically just a subset of decentralized. Even with Git, you almost always have a central repository. The difference is you can have more than one. You don't have to, but you can. The other thing is that's actually supported and not looked down. You won't get looked down your nose at for doing it with Git. When I was running Mercurial and I mentioned that we were going to switch over, you'll get lambasted on the Mercurial mailing list if you mention you're doing that, because it's a bad idea. It doesn't, the thought police on the Mercurial mailing list do not like centralized. If you're going to use Mercurial, and it works, and there are people who, they know there are people who use it, but, a year ago, you weren't doing it the one true way. Whereas Git, it's well documented how to do it, and it's just one of the supported workflows. So we kind of already talked about encouraging patch bombing. I think that's a myth, from somebody who has never really used distributed version control. There's the famous BizarreNG article. Version control that doesn't make your eyes bleed. And they're referring to Git. Git used to be hard. Git was originally written as plumbing. It was written as a bunch of tools that you could use to create a version control system. Problem with that is then the porcelains, the actual version control systems, there were several of them. They weren't all exactly the same. They didn't, and the Git plumbing was so flexible they didn't even work. You couldn't, sometimes you couldn't even mix and match them. So if you used one plumbing, you couldn't switch to another plumbing because the repository would be slightly different and it wouldn't exactly work with it. and that actually still causes problems, because the biggest, people complain Git puts 144 commands in your path. Well, it only puts one now with 1.6, but it still has 140-something commands, but you never use most of them unless you really, really want to. Because you don't have to use the porcelain. The real problem is you got to know what documentation to ignore, because all those porcelain commands are documented because they used to be the only official Git commands. But now Git core does contain its own porcelain, and it's very good. It's logical. You know, if you've used CVS or Subversion, you'll feel right at home with the Git porcelain. If you've used Bazaar or Mercurial, it'll seem really, really natural. But there's still a lot of documentation that talks about Git Passkey and Cogito and all these other things that shouldn't exist anymore and you shouldn't use anymore. And there's still tutorials out there that teach you how to use the porcelain commands. And I don't know porcelain commands. I've been supporting two or three groups inside Exactware for almost a year, and I don't know them. You don't have to know them. The problem is figuring out what you can ignore. So it is still a small problem for Git in that, you know, it has this baggage and this history of being hard to use and hard to figure out and way too many commands and or makes you feel stupid, as the guy who introduced Linus at Google said. Another myth: Git doesn't run well on Windows. It doesn't fly on Windows. It flies on Linux and Unix-like OSs, but it runs on Windows. Like most of our developers have Windows desktops, and they're actually pretty happy with it, and they still use Git GUI, which is kind of scary. Git GUI is the GUI that is included with Git, and it's TickleTK. It uses the porcelain commands. So if you choose clone from the Git GUI menu, it doesn't use the git clone command that you just read the man page for, of course. And it used to not work exactly like the git clone command from the command line. But most of those are probably fixed now. I've actually fixed a couple of them and reported several bugs, and I imagine by now most of those are fixed, but you never know, because Git GUI is older than the core Git porcelain, so it doesn't use it, and it doesn't work exactly like it. So that's one of those things you have to watch out for. Git's not for corporate SCM. We already covered that. Centralized is just a subset of decentralized, and it's a great replacement for CVS or Subversion. Linus goes on and on about how stupid CVS is and all those things, but what he's really talking about is the repository format and the way changes are stored and, you know, the division between server and client responsibility is not the hub and spoke, you know, everybody pushes to a central repository. Git works fine for that, and that's one of those things that a lot of people think, oh, we can't switch to Git because we have to have, you know, we're in a company and we have to have a central repository. But you can. Bazaar and Mercurial will do it too. I briefly mentioned garbage collection. Now, I've seen some benchmarks. I'm prone to hyperbole, but the Bazaar NG people, they're worse than me. I've seen benchmarks where, you know, to prove that Bazaar isn't really that slow, they do something in Git and run a garbage collection. Do another thing, run a garbage collection. And Git's still faster than Bazaar, but that's kind of a straw man, because if you have a central repository, you set up a cron job to run garbage collection once a week, and you'll never think about it again. I don't run Git GUI, which nags you every time you run it. It tells you how many loose objects you have and says, do you want to run a garbage collection? Our Windows users, they garbage collect on a pretty regular basis. My development repository on my desktop, I haven't garbage collected for months, and it's still blazing fast. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a pain. You know, if you really want the every last bit of speed you can get out of Git, you might worry about garbage collection a little bit, but it's really not something you're going to think about. Like I said, where it really counts on the central server, you're just going to have a cron job do it, and then you'll never think about it again. And if you never think about it again on your desktop, you'll still have a pretty fast Git. There are some problems. You know, Git's not perfect yet. Give it a few more months. Talked about Windows. There are some things that don't work yet or work well in Windows. You can't just run there, you can't run a Git daemon on Windows because it's multi-threaded, and there's something about the well, actually, there's Cygwin Git and there's msys Git, which is, uses MingW. I know msys Git better because that's what we use. It doesn't have the Git SVN command, so if you have a Subversion server and you want to use Git on your desktop and commit back to a Subversion server, that might work in Cygwin Git, but it doesn't work in msys Git. No Git daemon. I don't think there's a Git daemon for either one of them. And there are things that are quite a bit noticeably slower, but compared to Subversion, it's still fast. So compared to Linux, Git on Linux, it's slower, but compared to CVS, it's still a big improvement. We talked about liveification already. It'll happen, and probably pretty soon. And the documentation. You got, if you use only the new stuff, you're good to go, but there's a lot of old documentation out there that tells you a bunch of stuff you don't need to know. I still don't really know much or care about how the object database works and the directed acyclic graph and the, I mean, I got the basics of it, but you don't have to know that if you don't want to. If you want to, great. There's a lot of good documentation for it. Git calls, Linus, in his definition of SCM is source code management. So as he says, Git is a content tracker. It doesn't track file attributes, ownership, permissions, things like that. Source code doesn't have that. You don't care about ownership and things like that on source files. But if you want to revision control your Etsy directory, it's a big deal. So there are add-ons like Etsy Keeper and Izzy Setup that do things like that, but Git doesn't have built-in handling for file attributes. and this is another one of those design decision versus bugs, but a lot of people, there are pretty regular complaints that Git doesn't track file renames or directories as objects in the, doesn't track empty directories. It really only tracks file contents. Linus says that's a feature. Bizarre people, pun intended, say that's a bug. You know, Mark Shuttleworth says that's the most important thing you do with a revision control system is when you're refactoring, moving things around. For me, it hasn't been a problem yet. We'll see. Another specific request I got today was Git push. A lot of people come across this. The simple rule is never push to a non-bare repository. That's a repository that has a working directory. On the Git fact, they say don't do this until you know what you're doing. The real rule is never push to a checked out branch. So as long as you know that, then the first time you do it and it doesn't work like you think, it doesn't update the repository you push to, the working directory, you'll think, oh yeah, I wasn't supposed to do that, and you'll know why, and then you won't do it again. And it's annoying. It could be fixed with a commit hook, which will probably be done and ship with Git soon.
That means we won't have to worry about commit to a non-bare repository and just automatically update the history correctly?
That's the theory. Johannes Schindelin says he's working on that because Windows users especially complain about it all the time.
Question, because maybe that's in the intended use, if you want them to commit, like you don't want them to commit back to a non-bare because then you have duplicate commits, you duplicate other things, and you actually want to make sure that, I guess I can see kind of some variations on a theme there.
I think it's kind of a minor thing, but I suspect the real reason that it works like that is just because that's the way Linux uses it. Linus doesn't use it in a push environment. It's a pull environment.
Because you could write a few patches and then just merge them back in, which is my preferred if you're going to do it without a non-bare.
Yeah.
And just the format patch and mail, which is a very nice way to go.
I don't think it's an underlying fundamental shortcoming in Git that it can't be done.
Right.
I just think it's not the way most of the developers for years have used Git, and so it it can be done and probably will be done. It, you know, just hasn't been yet. Do you have a?
Well, even if you're doing a central model, you want the central refinery to put it there, anyway. Why would you have a working directory calling
up? Web, there are several use cases where people want to do this. You know, CVS and Subversion central repositories are bare. You know, they don't. That's all they are. You have the repository on the server, and all the working directories are on, you know, on the clients where you have them checked out. So, you know, that's just kind of what you're used to. It never would have even occurred to me, but it does in informal sharing. It shows up a lot. You know, if the firewall is such that you can access from here to here, but not from here to here, then sometimes you just think, oh, well, you know, the changes that I want to get from here to here, I've got to push them because you can't pull from this direction because of the firewall. The other one that comes up a lot is web servers. If you're managing a bunch of PHP code and you have a test server attached to your central repository, you just want to push it and then have the test server updated so testers can start testing it. Turns out that's pretty easy to do with another repository that just, you know, automatically pulls. You know, you have a commit hook and it tell it to pull. But again, it'll go away. It's not a fundamental, you know, design problem with Git. It's just the vast majority of Git users for a long time have been on the pull model, like the kernel. When you have something done, you ask the lieutenant above you, pull this branch. Then they merge it, and they ask, at some point they tell Linus, okay, you know, pull from me. The pushers are, you know, most newer to Git than the pullers, and that, I suspect, is why it's the way it is. anybody else have any problems with Git that I didn't cover here that you're wondering about, or... Oh.
I'm curious about local working directories. So I've gone through several tutorials and used a little bit. And does this track? It tracks everything in Docker Clipper View 1, right? So if you make a new branch, do something, create a file, and then hit bash and do something else, it numbers all the differences, doesn't it, for you?
Oh, it depends on the stash you use. But. if you create a new file and don't add it, I don't believe stash will stash that. By default, Git will ignore or untracked files for most commands will ignore what it calls untracked files. You have to explicitly add them, or you can just, you know, for initial setup or other times, you can just say add everything, but by default, it only tracks what you tell it to. So that's nice for us because we have several things that generate code, and unfortunately, they generate them into the same directories where we have checked in code, you know, tracked files, and they show up in the untracked files, but they don't ever automatically get added. So is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Anything else? Since the Git makes your eyes bleed, gets too hard to use, I really think a lot of that is a documentation issue. Let's see, we're about out of time, aren't we? Okay. There are a few concepts you need to know, and even branch and commit, you'd think those have fairly standard meanings, definitions, but they're quite different between Mercurial, Bazaar, and Git. So there are a few concepts that you have to know, otherwise the man pages won't make any sense to you. A working directory is pretty simple. That's where your files are. That's where you edit files. The repository is the equivalent of what's on the CVS or the Subversion server. That's all the history, the metadata, branches, branch information, things like that. The index is an interesting one, and it has several names. This is another problem with the Git documentation. It used to be called the let's see, was it the cache or the index cache, something like that. There's still old documentation, and most people call it the index, but not everything calls it the index. What this is a staging area. The way I explain it to our CVS users is, when you do, or in CVS or Subversion, if you add a file but you haven't checked in yet, where is that file? It's in the staging area, which is the CVS, all the CVS subdirectories in every directory in your CVS working directory. What Git does, Git takes that concept and makes it a full-blown tool you can use, and it makes some really cool things possible. But basically what it is it's when you commit, the index actually pretty much becomes the next commit in the repository. So it's the state of what you're going to commit, which is not, but it's separate from your existing repository and it's separate from your current working directory, so that gives you some flexibility there. The definition of a branch in Git is kind of confusing at first, but it's a branch is basically just a reference to a head or a tip commit on, and then you trace it back to see what's on that branch, but it's basically just a reference. So a branch literally in Git is nothing more than a 40-something byte file with a SHA-1 in it. That's what a branch is. Yes?
What's the relationship between the branch and the index? Is there one index per branch?
No. In normal Git, there's pretty much one index. So you have the repository and your working directory, and the index sits between it. And when you do a commit, that index becomes the next commit, and the index gets updated. There's not an index per branch. It's per working directory, basically. You can have multiple working directories with one repository, but it's kind of a pain, and not many people do it. Is there a question?
Earlier you talked about the common workflow where you start on one project, don't interrupt, you've got to do something else. If you already added a file or two into the index on that first workflow, and you want to create a new branch in that working directory to do some other thing or something else, how do you fix it?
So if you've added a couple of files,
You
commit a lot more often. So what you couldn't do, in CVS or Subversion is commit, because if you're not done, you're going to break the build, right? But in Git, you don't share that until you're ready to. So you can commit anytime you want. So, and that's how you keep it separate by, even if it's not done, you can commit. And what I frequently do is make a note to myself in the commit message. Did this but haven't done this yet, probably doesn't even build, things like that. And then you can just switch. And
so let's say you had some personal data in there that you don't ever want to push, and you go back to that branch to keep working, how do you pull that back out and go to that?
Well, there's a number of ways, and that's...
That's what I was going to say. The nice thing about this is that history is editable.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do like a commit, or a relabel, like it was called.
There's an amend commit.
Amend, and there's...
You can...
Rebase.
You can rebase.
Like interactive and squash the commits and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, you can squash commits. You can just you can leave branches dangling and never merge them, and then cherry pick the commits off them. So you can, if you have a commit that has this confidential stuff. One big difference between Mercurial and Git, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, when you do and fetch and pull are exactly the opposite in Mercurial and Git. So, fetch, pull, and merge in Mercurial, they basically synchronize your entire repository, all the branches, right? Everything that's in them.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Whenever you do either a fetch or a pull or a push with Mercurial, every object in your repository that's not in the remote repository gets pushed, or vice versa.
It used to be that way. Now, if you push, it won't create multiple heads unless you
give it a flag.
Flag it.
Uh-huh.
And it'll pull everything that comes.
And anything you have committed, but anything you have committed in any branch, any bookmark, gets pushed when you push, right?
Unless you have multiple heads on the local one.
Right. Okay. But with Git, the default, let's see. Yeah, I'm pretty sure all the remote synchronization commands, fetch, pull, push, they usually only default to one branch. And so if you're not on that branch when you push, it's not going to go. And that's different than Mercurial. And that's one of the things that helps you control when things get shared with Git. That's a little, you'd have to have multiple repositories to do that with them. And that's typically what you do with Mercurial. If you have something you're not ready to share yet, you have another repository, you put it in there, then you pull things over to your pristine repository that you use for pushing. So you can push with Git, you can push your master branch or even some other branch, and it only pushes that branch, the objects from the repository. So if you have other branches you're not done with, they stay on your machine, but they don't get pushed to the central server. Does that make sense? So even if you have that branch and you have that confidential data in there, if you cherry pick all the other commits out of there, or there are numerous ways to do it, even if you have that branch with that data in it, you don't have to share it. So does that answer your question? Okay. I see another hand. Okay, real quick, back to the concepts, and then we'll... another hard thing, and this took me and, but especially the Windows users, a while to get used to. The things I just described, the machinery to support that is a little bit confusing in Git until you get used to it. In Git... You have remote branches and that you never change on your machine. So the master branch, the development branch, the production branch on the shared server, you don't change those on your machine. You have a tracking branch that you change, and when you push that tracking branch, Git knows that it's tracking this remote branch, and it changes it on the repository where that branch lives. And it's a little confusing. Let's see. So if you run git branch, oops, if you can type, you'll see the only local branches I have on here are a master. This is the git cola repository. But if I say show me the remote branches, I have origin head and origin master, and that's a pretty lousy example. Let me see if I got a different... let's see if Team Git has a... Oh yeah, it's got a few more. So I don't know what the command gooification branch is, but I don't know. This is one of those things I can tell you it's there so that you know you have to learn it if you're thinking about Git, but it's kind of, until you've used it, it may not click. You have branches, you have tracking branches, and you never change a remote branch on your machine. You change your tracking branch, and then you change the remote branch on the machine where it lives. So when you push, you can change the master on the central server. But you actually don't change that branch on your machine. You just change your local tracking branch. That's a little different than centralized VCS, where a branch is a branch, and doesn't really matter whether it's local or remote. But once you get those commands down, or those concepts down, you can really get a lot done with Git with just these commands. And some of them I put stars by just because they might not do what you think they do if you're used to the old centralized systems. The other big difference between most of the centralized and the decentralized, every commit is the whole repository. it's stored in a very efficient manner, so it's not a lot of extra overhead. But when you do a commit, that SHA-1 tells you what every file in the repository is. They're all related to that SHA-1. So that makes some things work a little different than you'd expect if you're used to CVS or Subversion. GitAdd. Most people have a little bit of a hard time getting used to the fact that you can change a file in your working directory, but if you don't git add it or do a check-in or commit minus A for all, your next commit won't include your changes in that file. There's a good reason for that, too. You can just commit hunks of a file in Git. Now, I believe Bazaar and Mercurial allow this, too. You can do partial commits, which is really slick and actually useful. I already mentioned that Git GUI is kind of old. It may not do exactly what you think it should do. Just because it says clone and the man page says git clone does one thing doesn't mean git GUI is going to do that. Well, at this point, I had, I guess we're officially over time, but I had something, I've done some hacking on Git Cola, which I think is the best GUI for people who are switching from older revision control systems, and especially for if you have any Windows users, because it runs on Windows and Linux and runs pretty well on both. I've droned on for quite a while now, so yes.
So one of the big things you talked about was, you mentioned earlier, was that branching and merging is much easier with Git than with other things. And I don't know, I've never been afraid of using branches, and I do all the time. What is it? And that's the thing, that every time I've looked at Git, that's what everybody always pushes, that it's just so easy. What is it about it that makes it so nice?
Well, what revision control system do you use?
Currently we use Perforce.
Perforce. Okay, Perforce actually does fairly good merging, as far as I understand. I've never used it, but it's from what I've read.
In my last two jobs, we used Subversion, and yeah, the merging's crap on that. But
merging basically doesn't exist on that. Is the problem there? Let me show you. Can't type. Too many people. I'll show you Git Cola, since I've got some patches submitted to this. We'll do Git K first. And I don't know about Perforce. Perforce is still centralized, isn't it? Yeah. This is a contrived example. All the changes. Oh, what? So I did. Okay. This is a fairly contrived example. If you actually looked at any of these commits, all they do is add comments and things. But and this is cool because this is all local, so it's fast. So you're browsing the history and looking at the diffs and things without hitting a server. But here is Git calls the trunk. I don't remember what it's called in Perforce, but the main branch master. That's just a name it gives it. You don't actually have to stick with that name or anything. But here's the master branch going along here. You can see this goes from, they're not even in order. That's kind of interesting. Back from December and January. And then all of a sudden you get this this branch here. And this is the master over here on the right. And from here, I branched and said, okay, I'm working on this defect fix. And I did this backwards. I should have done it the other way, because it looks like I got interrupted on a defect fix for an emergency new feature. And it's usually the other way around, but just use your imagination. So here I have these three commits here, and you can click on this and see exactly, here's the files that changed, here's the commit comment, and then if you click on the file, it'll show you the patch. But at some point here, I said, okay, I got to switch over to this new feature, so here's the branch I created for that, and it's got its own set of files that changed each one of these commits here. And I don't know with Perforce, but I do know, with CVS and Subversion, when you have a branch, it keeps things separated, but it never brings them back together.
Yeah,
you have to go through and know which revision you want to go through. You want to actually merge back in. And
yeah. With Git, it's so fast and so easy. You know, it's your bookmarks. This is a contrived example because I couldn't bring my exact where source. That's kind of against the rules. But it's so fast, and merge works so fast and so well that you'll have literally, a bunch, 10 or more branches on your local machine if you're doing a whole bunch of things. And because they're easy to merge, it's easy to clean up the history if it's in its own branch. That's the other thing, yes.
Okay, so looking at this, so you've got master, you went and did your defect fix while you had your new feature going. So you apply defect fix back to master. Do you automatically get that back in your new feature, or do you have to do a pull into the new feature, or how do you bring all those together?
Well, actually, right now, neither of these are merged. So right now, that mean that would basically mean neither of them are finished yet. If I merge, they would individually merge. So when you merge, whichever one you merge first, and actually you don't have to merge. Git's kind of like Perl. There's more than one way to do everything. I hated that, but I'm not a huge Perl fan. I use Perl, but when you're switching from older revision control systems, the easiest way is just to merge these branches back in. And I'll show you what that looks like real quick. Let's see, I'm on the master. So if I just say git merge, what do I call that branch? Defect fix? Defect fix. And there's a completion for git, and it'll complete not only the git commands, but your branch names and stuff. That's pretty cool. So I say git merge defect fix, and there's not going to be any conflict, so it's done.
So now merge is in master.
So now defect fix is in master. So if I... update, will that be enough? Yeah. So now there's this new commit on master that basically contains all the changes I made, all those really important comments I added from the defect fix branch. But the new feature branch, it's still down here, so it's not done yet. And I can merge it as well. The other thing you can do is you can rebase it, which basically, you're not really changing the history, because there are ways in Git to go back. You rebase a branch, what it does, it takes all the commits on that branch and creates new commits as if they were from the tip of the master, not from where you started. So what I had before was, what usually happens is you create a branch, you start working on something, but other people are still committing to the master, as time goes on. That's why CVS update before you can commit.
So if you want to bring the fix from defect fix into new feature, is that just a matter of updating?
Well,
is that pulling, or what were you doing there?
Well, at this point, you probably wouldn't mix branches like that in normal usage. You could do that.
But if it was purely a bug fix you're worried about, you want to get that back into the new code.
Yeah, you want to get that back into the master. Typically.
So how would you do that?
Well, I just did that. The merge did that.
So defect fix is now in new feature?
No, it's now in master.
Right. So now I want to bring that into new feature.
You want to...
So you're saying you do it the other way. You bring new feature back into master.
Yeah, typically what you do is the way I have it set up here, if you really wanted that defect fix in new feature, you could cherry pick those changes, or you actually can rebase onto. So that the typical rebase, you'll see
that would jump all the way up.
Yeah, see, I branch new feature. Let's see, where's new feature? I branch new feature from right here. And rebase would take each of these commits and rewrite them so that from wherever I tell it to, I could say, I could say rebase onto this commit and make it look like I branched from there. And so I could take the defect fix branch and rebase it right onto that branch. But again, the way I have this set up, that's not typically something you do. For most topic branches, you either merge them, squash them, or something, everything goes back into the master. But there are situations where you do things like that, where you say, these two are related, I want to put them together. But one of the cool things is you can do, since I'm on the master, if I say git reb, I've had to dog food the GUI, and I can't remember how to use the command line anymore. Yeah, I don't think I'm gutsy enough to do a rebase minus I in front of people, but yeah. So if I'm gonna check out is it new feature? Yeah. So I'm gonna check out new feature, and if I say get rebase onto the master, what that does is, and again, this doesn't really rewrite history. All those old commits are still there; they're just not referenced, so you don't see them anymore. But it just created new ones. And now it looks like, come on, it appears as though instead of branching, you know, 2 weeks ago, I just branched today, and now all my commits are from the tip of the head. And if I do a, let's see, now if I check out the master, and if I merge new feature, that's what's called a fast-forward merge. And I can't, wish I remembered the hotkey for this. Now, even though I branched off 2 weeks ago and worked on this defect fix for a while, now it looks like I just started from the master, did these commits, and they're right on the they're right at the tip of master. You can also do rebase interactive that lets you edit that process and split up commits or merge commits. You know, clean things up before they go on to the master. Any questions about those, how those work? It's kind of hard to see these things until you've actually done them and said, oh yeah, I don't have to keep track of which files I changed for this defect fix or which files I changed for this new feature, because Git just does it for you. Any other questions? I did have some other demos that I could do, but we don't have to, you know, make everybody sit here all night unless you want to. Yes?
So how do you developers use CPS and Git together?
Well, we don't. I'm ashamed to admit I do still run a Subversion server, but we don't. We when we migrated, we got rid of CVS. Git does have CVS integration commands. But they don't work all that well because CVS repositories are just screwed up. The way we migrated was I checked out certain key points from the past, you know, 10 years. I'd check them out of CVS and then commit those spots into Subversion. So
to Git.
I didn't get much sleep last night. I'm a little drowsy, but so our Git history is kind of an abbreviated history up to the point where we migrated. So there's like, you know, one commit per quarter, basically up to that point. So yeah, we just switched over. The one Subversion repository I still run is basically a replacement for a file share where I got tired of people saying, oh, it's a bunch of Word documents and Excel spreadsheets and PDF files that was a share between subsidiaries, and somebody'd overwrite a file, and somebody, you know, everybody lost the last five changes they'd made. So it's basically a Web Dave with a Mod Dave SVN behind it, so that people who balked at the idea of actually using revision control are using it, and they don't even know it. But I don't know of any good way to do that with Git yet. But yeah, when we migrated, I manually migrated a condensed version of the history, and then CVS went away. Actually, it's
so all of your developers are using it.
All of the developers inside ExactValue. Yeah. ExactWare, there are other divisions where they have their Subversion servers, and they haven't, you know, they want, there's some people there who want to go to Git, but we're out front. We go first.
Share with them.
Not really. No, they don't use our Git servers. We don't use their Subversion servers. But yeah, importing history from CVS rarely works. There are even people who go just export their CVS server to Subversion and then to Git because that works better. But yeah, CVS is kind of messed up. So.
For Windows users, the Git colon, does that have any sort of explorer shell integration?
It doesn't. There are a couple of those in the works now. I haven't used them because I don't use, but there's Git extensions and Git Cheetah. Since, you know, tortoise, who wants to have a tortoise? on Git, but there are a couple of them. They're not as far along. You know, they're not quite as slick as Tortoise and for CVS and Subversion. But from what I understand, they work. You know, they're okay. But the GUIs for committing and merging and resolving conflicts and things like that, they work just fine on Windows. The shell integration, apparently the only way you can do that is by writing COM objects. And who wants to do that, you know? No. Any other questions? Anyway. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.